Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. As you know, today is Tuesday, so as on Tuesday, as every Tuesday, we have the segment when we go from the pulpit to the couch, where you will be giving biblical teachings from Pastor, Senior Pastor Dennis Dell of Higher Dominion Worship Center, and Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, today's topic is a very interesting topic, as I say, mostly all of them are, and partly because when we talk about life, we talk about this Christian life, we talk about being a child of God, today's topic basically is about mistakes and sin. But the main part of the topic is, don't let your mistake become your excuse. Now, when we talk about mistakes, we all know that mistakes happen. We all know that we all have sinned. Big or small, there is one that can carry it all. Now, if you are struggling with events from mistakes from your past, God is a very forgiving God. He can also make a miracle out of your mistake, and such can also be a testimony. So it looks like the pastor has joined us here on the air, so I'm ready to log him on. Welcome, Pastor. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Glad to be on the show. It's a happy Tuesday, and we thank God, and we're looking forward to getting ready with our show. The Lord is blessed. We have some good news to share. One of our elders is in the hospital. He's in a car accident. He's being released on today. And then our senior district missionary from Higher Dominion Worship Center, her daughter was blessed to give birth yesterday to a beautiful 8-pound, 15-ounce baby. So we have those things to give God praise for, and the Lord is doing great things.
And that is great news. I'm glad that he's doing great. And I also want to tell you, you did an awesome job on Sunday, even though I thought that me and Mother Perkins and your mother was going to get a whooping.
Yeah.
Mother Perkins said, I ain't never sitting by you again. We was bad. We was really bad.
But the Lord is good.
Today's topic is, don't let your mistake become your excuse. Now, being a child of God does not require that one be perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of his glory, yet for some it becomes an issue because many times individuals find it difficult to let go of some of the mistakes that they have made in their past. Now, in life, we all make mistakes, and we will continue to make mistakes. So it's very important to know that such mistake does not define who a person is. Now, there are some mistakes that appear to be more costly than others, and the mistake can take on many forms. It may also have an impact on oneself or the lives of others. One can acknowledge the mistake and use it to become wiser, yet what happens to many is that they get stuck in their mistake. Now, Pastor, let's talk about that in regards to struggling because, you know, we always say that the church is like a hospital. And individuals sometimes go to the altar and they want to carry burdens and they don't know what to do with the mistake that they made. Let's talk to some of the Christians or give us some insight in regards to that.
Well, let's start out by saying that there's no human alive, especially Christian, that has not made a mistake. And Paul talks about it in Romans, the third chapter. He talks about in Romans and the sixth chapter about him being the chief sinner. And this is one of the most, you know, apostles that we look to. He's one of the most esteemed apostles. He wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament. And what's easy for God seems to be hard for believers. And so God, the Bible tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive. And for believers, it's hard for us to get over the mistakes of others. And A lot of people deal with guilt. They deal with, you know, the shame from it. They deal with the scars. They deal with internal emotional scars as well. And so it's an important subject that we have to deal with today, because it is holding back the church. It's holding back individuals. It's holding back gifts. And if we can learn to do as Christ taught us in the New Testament, to forgive and move on, we won't have as many people in this position.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pastor, a lot of times individuals say, well, you know, we tell people, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. It's going to get better. It's going to be easy. Keep living. But when you're dealing with those scars, or when you're dealing with the shame and the guilt, and sometimes individuals will remind you of your mistake. And that forgiveness, I always teach individuals, especially in therapy, is a process. And forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. I had a person tell me the other day that they was told that their gift, which was an anniversary gift, was their, the other person's forgiveness. And I started laughing. Because like, you choose whether you go forgive the person or not. You have to forgive them, mm-hmm. so you won't be mad and stuck. But by that same
right.
token, some individuals play with the word I'm sorry or please forgive me. Sometimes they use that also as an excuse.
Yes. Well, we are, there's a lot of different ways to go on this. So we're going to try to keep it like we have in other shows, you know, for people following. Try to be systematic, because there's a lot of different ways we can go. So first I'm going to try to just deal with forgiving yourself. And in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah teaches us about forgiving ourselves and how it is that internal struggle first. And so the reason why people are dealing with guilt, I always have to tell them, is because you care. If you didn't care, and if you were just a sociopath, and if it didn't affect you, you know, you wouldn't have guilt. And the guilt is there to remind us of our moral responsibility. And then once we seek forgiveness and ask for forgiveness, the guilt has done its job. It is not to stay and to remain and to haunt us. And this is what happens. And so there are people there, just as you said, that will try to keep you in guilt so they can hold you down because they're benefiting from that in some way. There are some people also, too, who like to stay in guilt because they're being petted by other people, okay? And they like the attention and for people feeling sorry for them. But still, that's not growing either. And so in the mind, we have to understand the process. In the mind, we have to understand that God didn't mean for us to stay in these positions. These are unhealthy positions to be in. These are positions that we don't grow. These are positions that we can't help other people. And so the first thing to do is forgive yourself, learn to understand the process of spiritual forgiveness, of godly forgiveness, learn to understand that God knew everything about you before he saved you. God knew everything about us, about history, about time. That's what our Bible teaches, and that's what we believe in Scripture. And so God knew every sin and every mistake that we were going to make. That doesn't make it less painful, because there's collateral damage too, but it's important for us to understand that if God can forgive us first, then we should be able to forgive ourselves. And we have to get that in our mind. And what that means is that once we start forgiving ourselves, okay, the criticism of other people won't have as much power on us. And it eventually gets to a place where the criticism of other people doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, I have a saying, and I saw it written, so it's not my saying. And I teach my clients, what other people think of you is none of your business. Because if you make it your business, it becomes a big old problem. I like how you talked about the spiritual forgiveness, because that's something that I believe needs to be taught to a lot of our believers, because many of us may not even know the principles in regards to that, and also a pity party. Sometimes when we're dealing with our mistakes, we like to invite people to our pity parties, and everybody don't want to go to the pity party. Now,
no.
With that being said, I put something out that I found on the internet, and it said, your mistake do not define you. God does. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yes. Again, it's a reflection of how people see you, because as I preached on Sunday, a lot of people see David as the one who killed Goliath, David as the shepherd who killed the lion and the bear, David who wrote the Psalms, David who, you know, won all the battles, David who became king after Saul, David, you know, the father of Solomon. And there's so many good things to list. And then there's other people who, when you bring up the name David, oh, yeah, that's the one that sinned and had adultery with Bathsheba. And so it's perspective. And when people know about you and when people want to see you in a certain light, again, that's how people are. And so people have to, how can I say this? I'm going to put it the right way.
Take your time.
I am. People have to always try and reflect upon other people how they would like to be seen also. And I'm saying that because a lot of people who are criticizing people and who are trying to bring up people's past, they are the main ones I find that have terrible things in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've told a few people who have gone through things that I've gone through is that, you know, when a person falls in love, a person gets married, a person is a Christian, a person been in church all their life like me, the last thing on your mind that you think about is that you're going to go through a divorce situation. And yet it happened. And you have people who are saying, how can this happen to you? How did this situation come about? You can't do this. You can't do that. And I tell people this to help them. The main people who tried to criticize me had been divorced 3 times, 4 times themselves. They weren't people who were, you know, 80 years married, 60 years married, trying, you understand what I'm saying? These were people who had already been divorced themselves. And that really taught me something. And I, you can't let people hold you back, you know, in their opinions. And the Lord had to counsel me and send good people my way, because the best thing about my situation is I'm very amicable with my ex-wife. We always have been. There were issues there that were systemic before we got married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised my children with beautiful children. You know, I have 3 incredible young adult children from that marriage, incredible, who are all gifted and not just average citizens but above average citizens. And I don't regret any of that time. And so, see, people don't understand that. So people try to look from the outside, and then they try to add their own conjectures to someone else's story, and then they try to say things that are trying to hold you back, and you can't let them hold you back, because anybody who's out there trying to criticize is somebody who has something in their closet. And I don't need to know what it is. I don't need to know what it is. I don't have to know what it is. I just have to worry about me and moving forward. And that's what I did. And so in my situation, I moved forward. God bless me. God bless my children. And then after a few years, you know, you don't want to jump into one thing and then jump into the next thing. You have to heal. And then when you heal, that keeps you from repeating mistakes. And so learning from the mistake, I believe, is the number one thing that God wants us to do. Number two is to be able to share our experience from the mistake with others who are going through the similar situations. And then number three, not letting the mistake define us and hold us back. Okay, and then number four, to go ahead and thrive regardless of it.
And you know, Pastor, and a lot of times when we look at the mistakes, the first thing, there's two things that automatically come to our mind. One is a relationship, and then two is financial. And it's interesting you said that about the relationship, because when you was talking about the two people on Sunday at Pastor Saul's church, Mother Perkins kept pushing me because I had got a call from an attorney. And we were talking, and she was telling me she would do my paperwork and not charge me. And I've done so many divorce paperwork. My auntie told me, she said, Jeanette, you have relationship ADHD. And I'm listening, relationship ADHD. She said, yes, you have a very short attention span. So when people get on your nerve, you be like, I'm out. So when you said that, I thought about marriages. I said, dang, I was separated longer than I was married. Now I can finally get a divorce. I'm like, I'm free. I messed around this morning. Why I send that man a text to somebody else's, called the wrong name? I said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not a cheater, because I'd have been so busted. So, but the thing is, sometimes when you make mistakes, you got to laugh at yourself. Because laughing at yourself helps you know that, you know what, sometimes I didn't go into things thinking I was making a mistake. We try to go into things, but stuff happens. And that don't define who you are. Meaning, when we mess up, we will inevitably have to confront feelings like guilt, embarrassment, and sometimes anger. But these emotions are emotions that society has taught us that they were bad or they were negative due to their messy, unpredictable, uncomfortable nature. But the thing is, when we start to feel the shame or these emotions, we panic. And we are either crushed by the overwhelming feeling of the bad emotion, or we run as fast as possible, denying the existence of them all. And that's where people keep us stuck, because we give them our power. But if we learn to embrace it, challenge it, think about it, slow down and breathe, then you don't feel like as bad as people want you to, because they like to beat you up. And I'm going to speak on your thing. It's interesting what you said. And I got to throw you under the bus, Pastor. Ms. Parks wanted you to know that you had her confused last week.
I know it was the other Parks and not Mother Parks. Yes.
Yep.
I know which Parks it was.
I said, he said, Jeffrey. I said, did he get Ms. Parks confused with Mother Posey? Mother Posey
named
Jeffrey.
Right.
Ms. Parks' sons' name are Lamar,
Lamont, and Adonis. I understand. Right.
I said, I'm not going to tell him on the air. Ms. Parks said, I think he got me confused with another Ms. Parks, because there was another Ms. Parks. I said, Ms. Parks, I wasn't going to say nothing. We're going to be that long. So when we think about these things, sometimes a mistake is an honest mistake. It can be honest. It doesn't have to be done in malice. It doesn't have to be done in order to hurt someone. So a lot of times I tell even my clients, there's a difference between saying I apologize versus I'm sorry. Because a lot of times when we use the word sorry, we abuse it. Because sometimes we don't even know what we're sorry for. But I tell individuals, if I say I apologize, that means if I offended you in any way, it was not my intention. I apologize.
Amen.
I understand.
But what I was saying when you were saying that it's so true. And and people have to understand, and that's when I go back to the point you made earlier, that we can learn to laugh at things and not be so serious about everything. And, right? And so that's what's important. But people, to thrive off other people's suffering and off other people's misery, because some people see it as a way for them to come up and do better. And so...
Right.
I have seen people who try to, we see this a lot in social media, we see this a lot in the entertainment and business world, where people will go after people, will spy on them, will dig up dirt on them, especially in politics, to try to bring something from their past to defeat them, to try to hold them back and try to keep them from going forward. What's shocking about that is that it's happening in the church world too. And I wanted to address that because that's not people simply bringing up other people's mistakes and trying to hold them back. We have to understand that that's evil now.
Correct.
And that's witchcraft. And that's what I want the saints to understand, that we're not to, you know, to participate and to do things like that. You know, I know because the relationship that Pastor Saul and I have is unique. We've been friends a long time. And then a lot of pastors are in the area, and this is not stereotypical. It's peer pressure, and it crosses racial lines. Some pastors can be downright mischievous towards other pastors because of movement of membership. And they say things, and well, you know he used to be, and well, you know she used to be, and well, you know what they went through. And they try to say it in a tone and in a light as, I'm just trying to let you know. I just want you to understand. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
And what believers have to understand is, I tell people when I hear stuff like that, if it's in their past, it's in their past. I have a past, you have a past. You understand? I have a past, you have a past, and we can't let those things hold us back, because what happens is when the church, new members, young members, older members, see that type of behavior in leadership, and leadership is trying to pass it on as lessons, people are not dumb. People know what you're trying to do, and they know what's going on. And people, you know, is teaching the wrong lesson. And this is how this thing grows. You see it on the national level when, you know, it's even hit YouTube now, where you have preachers talking against preachers and talking about mistakes and talking about the past, instead of telling people how to get to forgiveness, how to get rehabilitated, how to learn to get over the hurt, the guilt, and the shame. You know, I have a number of pastoral friends, you know, back east in the Midwest. I won't call on none here on the West Coast, who their assistant pastors and their elders underneath them were giving them advice, wrong advice on issues, when they were some of the main ones egging them on in ill-mannered business. And then now they're steering them with wrong advice so they can take over their work. And so there's always a motive behind, you know, certain actions. I'm going to end it with that. And people have to be aware of that.
Correct. And, you know, Pastor, in the therapy world, we call that not just therapy world, period, but it happens a lot in church, but we also view it now as professional jealousy, because we're supposed to be and do better than that, but sometimes our own insecurity kicks in, and then we justify it and we make excuses. Now, I want to give the listeners some information, and one of the things that they can do is when we are having and we're dealing and we feel stuck in this blame and shame game of what we're dealing with in our past, I always say, one, when you're in a vehicle, you notice that the rearview mirror is much smaller than the windshield. Because if you're too busy looking backwards, you might crash, because you need to look what's ahead of you. And words are very powerful. So one of the things you can do is replace internalizing self-negative talk with scripture. When we respond to a situation, not just physically but mentally as well, the internal monologue we use is very important. Because a lot of times we do talk to ourselves, but sometimes we want other people to listen, so we'll just tell them things because it sounds good, even if it's a lie. But a little conversation in our head that narrates our life can also change the direction of where we're going. So one of the things that we can do is we can try to understand that these patterns of thinking, if it don't serve you or identify that God desires you to step boldly into, you can start saying things. And it's also indicated in James 3 and 2, we all stumble in many ways. But if we are honest and abiding, or we are righteous, and we have fallen seven times, we will remember that we will get up. So don't let people keep you stuck in your past, because God can turn your past into a purpose. Now let's talk about that, Pastor, because we know, and I always talk about with the Church of God in Christ, because growing up in Compton, what I saw in a lot of the churches and the individuals, God took their past and they served a purpose, because sometimes you're able to reach other people. So let's talk about that a little bit.
It's a beautiful thing to see that, because I've taught it in conferences. I've seen other people teach it, how God can take, and God has built ministries off people's past. I know several ministers, evangelists, their whole theme is around rehabilitation, how the Lord brought them out of prison and how they helped men and women dealing with that issue. We have a senior evangelist, Pastor Rogers. In fact, he was a bishop. He has a powerful testimony. He's a national evangelist. He speaks on how cocaine, heroin, drug abuse, you know, made him lose his home, his business, his church. He lost lots of money. The Lord blessed him, and he was able to recover some back. He was able to get his marriage back with his wife. And that is the central theme that he preaches on. That's his central theme, which means that he teaches and preaches on that all the time. And he's done that for the last 15 years, and that's the ministry that the Lord gave him. And so it's so important to understand. I want to remind people that also the family curse or generational curse or these type of things are linked to mistakes. And it's important for us to understand our history, our family history, our genealogy, these types of things. It may be something you may not be proud of, but it's helpful. And so in my family, Jeanette, on both sides, I'm saying this in front of people. I don't talk about this much. In my father's background, in my mother's background, divorce is prevalent. And then when I look among my family, my siblings, and even my step siblings, divorce is prevalent, but also restoration. And so what was not taught to us, you know, was taught to us. And what I mean by that is that we seen it. You know, my mom was married three times. I lived through that. I seen it. You know what I'm saying? And not knowing, not being taught correctly, you're being taught by the mistakes. Because so many times people, that's grown-up business, that's grown-up folks, that's grown-up business, that's grown-up business. And it's kind of like a point you said earlier, when we go into the fight or flight, or the right, and instead of fighting, you know, that response again is to let's run, let's get away from this. And so, but my younger brother hasn't got divorced, and every time he's had an issue, we talk, we sit, we serious counseling. Advice that we didn't get. Do you understand? And the same thing with my children. My young adult children are not married yet. None of them are in serious relationships, because I've taught them some things. You know, they don't have no kids out of wedlock. They're not, you know, they haven't made these mistakes. And it's through a lot of teaching. And so I think I've taught them so well, that's why I don't have grandchildren yet. So,
well, you know what, Pastor, I would say this. It's interesting you said that, because a lot of times, and I did my show last on Monday, and it was basically how to talk to your children about drugs and alcohol. And even though I come from a home and a background with a lot of divorces, a lot of domestic violence, a lot of family dysfunction, and I never wanted to live like that. I never did. And I remember my mother got on me before, and I told my mother, I would rather have A through Z on my mailbox than to be dogged out by one person, because I'm not going to do mess. I'm not a messy person. I don't do drama. I don't argue. I don't want to fight. I ain't got time for all of that. But by that same token, I had to learn in regards from my mistakes, and I said, if I'm dealing with someone, I'm not going to be dealing with the trauma. I'm not going to be dealing with the addictions. I can't save everyone. So I had to learn about me too. But I know in my last marriage, I thought because we knew each other for so long, since we were 14, but then I also learned that we didn't know each other. Because as I was growing, what I knew, he didn't want to know, and I had to learn to leave it alone and not use that as an excuse to justify either my behavior or try to put a Band-Aid on his. So sometimes we have to learn how to not use that as an excuse or say, well, my mama did it, my daddy did it, so now I'm doing it. No. And I remember my daughter, because both of my kids are there, what, 30? I think my daughter will be 31. My son will be 34 next year. And neither one of them have ever married. And my daughter told me to my face, I don't want to make the mistakes you did. And I'm very proud of her. But by mm-hmm. that same token, when I did it, I didn't know it was a mistake. I thought I knew what I was doing.
Right.
It just didn't work out. And I said, keep it moving. But it's good when you're raising your kids, because that's one of the things for Christians, for believers to know, that your kids and your family are watching. And sometimes we have to demonstrate to them that even in any mistake, it always going to serve a purpose. And like they said, that's your best teacher. But
right.
don't beat yourself up about it. Learn to
no.
forgive yourself and keep it pushing. That don't mean give up on, because I still don't give up on a marriage. I think a marriage is a beautiful thing. But I
it is
to
very beautiful.
I know yep. that it takes work. I know that
yep.
the person has to be willing, ready, and able. I know that some individuals
yep.
are not able. You know, so I know I've definitely learned some things. Now, let's transition a little bit. When we're talking about when God turns your mistake into his glory, because like I said, it does become a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
It does give individuals something to strive for, something to look for. And we all know that many individuals have had a sad or broken past. You know, whether you grew up with a single parent, without a father, you know, because these are some of the things that we say, well, so-and-so was on drugs or was an alcoholic. We got to remember that God is our Savior, and God is a forgiving God. But Christ
mm-hmm.
alone can save us from our downfalls. And a lot of times, too, Pastor, is trying to differentiate between what is a sin and what is a mistake. Because sometimes we can go into something knowing we sin and say, oops, I messed up. Okay, please forgive me.
Right.
So that's a whole other issue, a whole other topic. But
yes.
when we're talking about the sad and broken past, Pastor, what can you give the listeners some encouraging words to let them know, to be encouraged to the process of saying, you know what, Lord, please forgive me. I'm repenting. I'm bringing this to you. I'm taking it to you. Because I know as a pastor, some things you really don't be wanting to hear, but people go tell you. And I know me
mm-hmm.
as a therapist, I'd be like, well, why they just tell me this? And
yep.
we get it, but by that same token, don't keep telling it to us all the time. Do something about it. Don't make it an excuse.
Yeah, a lot of people have to hit rock bottom first before they're able to see repentance and come out of it. And the reason why is because a number of people, the percentage is high, are prone to think they can get themselves out of anything. And so after we try getting ourselves out of it man's way, street talk, this, playing games
mm-hmm.
and different things, and all those things fail, and they only get us into a deeper situation, especially trying to get out of it with lies, it's only going to lead to more lies, and that makes it deeper and makes it more worse. And so the thing to do it is just like what the Lord says, repent. And what we should do as a church is don't make it so hard for people to repent.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people when I'm in therapy, especially couples, and especially there's just so much information. You just hit it on the head, Jeanette, that should not be told, that don't have to be out, because the enemy uses those things as visual aids to keep a person trapped, to keep people separated,
mm-hmm.
to keep people apart. You know, if somebody has done something to someone and they apologize, the person who is now saying, okay, you hurt me, I still want to be with you, but now you're going to have to tell me every single thing, that mm-hmm. should not be a condition. That should not be a condition of forgiveness. You know, correct. That is not in it. And they have to understand that's only going to leave you, mm-hmm. you know, in bondage. It's going to leave you there because the enemy now has mm-hmm. visuals and a lot of other things to tie you and to make the mess worse. Correct. God's formula is so simple. We need to get that in our minds. Yes.
Correct. What I want to say, Pastor, because that comes up a lot in therapy, especially when I'm doing couples counseling, they want to know everything, mm-hmm. especially if it's about
right.
an affair. And I'll tell them, what you going to do with that information? So
yeah.
you can't do anything about it. So why do you need to know
no.
that? Some things you
See,
don't
that,
need to know.
That comes from the movies. That comes from TV. And I tell people that. That's not real life therapy. That's not real life situations. And
mm-hmm.
When God asks us for repentance, all he's saying is, I want you to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned. I'm not going to do it again. The Lord don't need
mm-hmm.
to ask you for every single detail and have you write that. You know, that's the Catholic Church. That's their form of, okay,
correct.
of confession
mm-hmm.
that
confession.
Does no good anyway because you are confessing to a man and not to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not
mm-hmm.
your mediator. The Lord Jesus Christ is your mediator, and they need a mediator. So I can't have someone try to mediate on my behalf that needs mediation also. And so all that person can do can encourage me and lead me to repent. And that's what I tell people also. You need to repent to the Lord. And what I mean by that is that if I'm the one that you personally harmed, then you say sorry to me, that's fine. But you still got to get it right with the Lord, too, because
mm-hmm.
that's where your ultimate forgiveness is going to come from. And so I've learned that. I've learned to also try not to get myself full of just negative information. And
mm-hmm.
I stay away from it as much as possible because people are so quick to condemn. And
correct.
So, you know, there's a lot of, I find out in business, in ministry, in personal life, in everything, there's so many motives behind wanting to bury people from this. They want a house. They want their church. They want their ministry. They want property. They want money. All of those things are the unseen motivations. And my mom used to always tell us to consider the source. And so
mm-hmm.
if I've known a person my whole life, you know, I've known a person my whole life, and now they've made a mistake. I don't stop, you know, feeling how I felt about them my whole life because I know I've made mistakes also. And so
mm-hmm.
I come to see the people as I see them, and if I want to have a personal conversation with them, and then I'll do that. I'm not going to hold anybody back based upon the opinions of others. Because
correct.
that's how this thing starts, that's how it snowballs, that's how cliques come together, and that's how so many false and negative rumors start. And so
mm-hmm.
now and then that gives people low self-esteem, that gives people, you know, feeling about themselves in a different perspective because of the masses, and you find out it's all because of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at in life as a person first, man of God, a husband, a pastor, as a leader in the community. You know, I have to take care of me. I know that I'm prone
mm-hmm.
to mistakes, and I know we're talking about mistakes more on the serious side, but even if I look down at the mm-hmm. speedometer and I find myself, you know, doing 85 and 90, which happens more than it should, you know, I quickly repent because that's how I'm teaching my members and people who I talk to. It starts with all of those things. It really does.
It's funny when you said that, when I closed my eyes, all I can see is your little sports car, and you know, that ain't your
yes.
fault.
And so... And so, but what I'm saying is that I've taken it to those steps. And so what I
mm-hmm.
mean is, like, like I talked about last week, I don't go back, you know, for that second helping of ice cream. I know I want it. I eat ice cream maybe once a week now, at the most, maybe twice. You know, I'm trying to help myself. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because it tastes good, but it's a mistake. And the little mistake lead to the larger mistake, and that's what I'm trying to help myself. And even when I get out of the house, even when I get out of the house an hour late, I tell myself, Dan, you're wasting time. That's a mistake. And so by helping myself that way, I'm helping myself in bigger areas. I want to shift gears real quick, and I'm looking back at my notes, and this is something that I wanted to bring up today. The other thing about mistakes, Jeanette, and I know you might have some information on this too because we're usually in sync, is that the church has become so desensitized.
Correct.
And I've had to reintroduce that to myself. And what I mean by that is that I was watching a movie the other night, and it's normal. It's on TV. It's on Netflix, everything. And the people started stripping down, and something quickened me, and I changed the channel.
Yeah.
And then when I changed the channel, Jeanette, I felt dumb, and I'm like, I'm grown. Mm-hmm. I can watch what I want to watch on my TV. I'm grown, and ain't nobody going to know what I'm watching, and I'm sitting there. But something quickened me, and I paid attention to that. I paid attention to it, and then I stopped, and I meditated on it, and I'm like we have watched this so much, the language, this thing, the music, the culture, and the church is so desensitized. And then I'm going to say this one last point and open it up to you, is that I'm reading a book for men on this because, you know, you can't help people unless you're helping yourself, right? And
that's true.
The book said that would you watch a movie as a man that had adultery, that had abuse, that had a woman selling herself for her son, that had drug use, and that had foul language, and that had stereotypes and racism in it. And I said, no, I don't want to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept reading the book, and the author wrote, most of you would say, no, you wouldn't watch nothing like that as a Christian man.
Correct.
And then it said, how many times have you seen this movie, Forrest Gump? And I had to write.
Oh, I know.
And I had to write it down. I've seen Forrest Gump at least 25 times, and I thought about it, and I said, all those things are in that movie, and Forrest is talking about, you know, and his mom is in there selling herself so he can get in school. I had to think about all of it, and I was like, we watch that. We're so desensitized, and the connection is that's how so many believers are making mistakes because we've become so desensitized because of the availability of this stuff, of the media, of the music, of this, and how we hold ourselves to as believers. You know, my grandmother snatch your ear and come in. My grandmother walked. What y'all watching? You know, you understand? We are far away from those days. Go ahead.
I remember going to the movies and your mama would put her hand over your eyes and you peek it through her fingers. She'd take you to the drive-in and go see all the Richard Pryor movies and all of that mess because they wanted to see it. But, you know, and it's interesting because I've learned to – I'm very careful now with what I watch because I remember watching the movie The Purge. I was so violent. I was screaming and hollering, kick them, stab them, do this. My grandkids don't even like watching certain movies with me. Plus, I talk to the movie. Now, we have a caller on the other line, so I'm going to log this caller on. But I want to also let the listeners know that God's grace covers our mistakes because he covers us. So let me add the caller. See what the caller has to say. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney and Pastor Dan Estelle. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Any comments you want to make in regards to don't let your mistakes become your excuse?
No, not right now. I'm just listening in.
Is this Krista?
Okay.
Yes.
Is this Krista? Okay, Krista, you know what? You're doing good. We're going to add you on to the show because you're having a lot of stuff to talk about, too. You know you got something to say about mistakes.
Yes, I do, but I'm trying to get out the office right now, and then, so I'll be able to chime in.
Okay, just check it, because I know
praise
you
Lord.
Got something. I can feel it. Okay, so when we talk about He covers me, God's grace covers my mistakes, a lot of times, many people don't even understand what that means. But part of it means His love covers a multitude of our sins, our weaknesses, our flaws, and our mistakes. Because only God is perfect. And a lot of times we try to be perfect, but we are going to fall short. So just because
yes.
we fall short don't mean that we've made a mistake. Because we
no.
need to clarify what that actually means. Because a lot of times we don't even understand God's love. And when we start talking
yes.
about the mistakes and the consequences, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Pastor, earlier, a lot of times we want people to pay when we feel
mm-hmm.
that they've hurt us or they've done something to us. And some things are not a mistake. Things were meant to be. But we have to learn how to still grow from that. Okay, I'm going to let you speak on
yes.
that, Pastor.
Well, to understand God's grace and God's mercy is for the believer to understand that, first of all, I like to tell people that God is omniscient. He knows all. Now,
mm-hmm.
because I counsel with other pastors and because I sit in groups with bishops and senior leaders, you know, we have professional sinners is what I want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people, and you've probably heard this too in your counseling. I've had adults come to me and say, Pastor, you know, this man, this woman, you know, come to me and they said, Pastor, we know it was wrong. We got together as adults and we agreed that we was going to sin and we agreed that we was going to hold nobody at fault but us. And so, but now that it's happened, it's affecting so many other people. And I look at them and I say, you know what, His grace is. And
mm-hmm.
there is no apparatus for the believer, okay, to conjure up in their mind that there is a way to sin and get away with it. It's going to result in failure. It's going to result in a fall. And I'm going back to all these things from my grandmother. If you listen to it long enough, people are going to talk you into stuff. If you listen to the devil long enough, he's going to make it sound plausible. And if you hang around temptation long enough, it's going to get you. And what happens is there are people who honestly want to do right and then they end up doing
mm-hmm.
wrong. And then there's people who set out to do wrong from the beginning, knowing that it's wrong and still do wrong. And His grace is still sufficient for both. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've heard one of my mentors say that you can even look at all the consequences. This might affect my job. It might affect my home. It might affect my reputation in the community. And then you might say, but only if I get caught, only if it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take that chance. People, I'm talking about intelligent sinners now. I'm talking about people who do a lot of rationalizing before they make mistakes. And what happens is some people, they outsmart themselves with Scripture, and God's going to forgive me, and I'm going to have a contrite heart and all these things. And to those people, you know, I have to let them know, just like what happened to David, that sin and that punishment can not only fall on you, but it can fall
mm-hmm.
on the generations. It can fall
mm-hmm.
on your children. It could fall on a lot of people. It could hold back. It could do a lot of damage. And so as much as we try to see the whole picture, we can't. And the best thing not to do is to not to go into something openly, not to make a mistake on purpose, because there's a lot of mistakes that are going to be made that are actually really mistakes and errors.
Correct.
And things,
correct.
Yeah, not in our control that happened. And, you know, we're dealing with those already, so don't compile the situation
mm-hmm.
by adding calamity to it. And so
mm-hmm.
that's why a lot of times to keep from making them, it's better to walk away. It's better to keep your mouth
correct.
Shut. It's better to move on to compound something than to make it happen. And I'm
correct.
Speaking in general. I know that because we haven't had a lot of specific questions, but it applies to a lot of things, whether it's financial, economical, you know, dealing with money, dealing with criminals in that area, whether it's sexual, whether it's temptations of lust, fornication, all these things, it applies mm-hmm. across the board.
Correct. And like I said, Pastor, that kind of goes back to what I was talking about in differentiating between a sin and a mistake, because sometimes we want to put them both in the same category. Now, there are some Bible verses about making mistakes, because like I said, in life we all make mistakes, but we are not to let them define us. And we also have to admit that some mistakes, as we know, are more costly than others. But when we
yes.
use them to become wiser, God will always remain faithful to his children. And we also
mm-hmm.
have to learn from the mistakes. It's kind of like a parent telling us, well, what did you learn? Because our parents want to discipline us, but then they say they still love us. But they want us to learn something. But if we continue to dwell on them, or if we forget our past mistakes and keep moving forward towards the eternal prize, God is always with you, and he will restore and strengthen you. So a lot of times we
yes.
don't need to let the world and let people beat us up, because like you said, sometimes we'll take those things to the church, people will start gossiping and trying to tell our business. One thing about me, even being a therapist, I'm transparent, but I'm still only going to tell you what I want you to know. But I don't
yes.
have it where anybody can use my past against me or throw something
mm-hmm.
up in my face, because when I say it, it sounds better when I said it anyway. So by the
right.
time you hear from somebody else, you're like, oh, I'm not worried about that. And I don't give it no power.
Amen.
I do not
right.
give it power. So it pisses
See,
folks off because they can't use nothing against me. And I don't
right.
keep
See, you,
everything.
And so, right. And so the majority is not like you, though. The majority hides. They move 9 states over. They'll quit a job. And I know people that will start over and over again to run from their path.
Mm-hmm.
And so the majority is not like you. And,
correct.
And that's what we want to lead those people to understand is that that's how this thing snowballed and hurt people. I'm like you, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not moving from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, I'm not moving.
Funny.
I'm not changing my job.
Yeah. I ain't got time for that. That's how I wind up in Oceanside. But you know what? I wanted to say this, and I'm going to let you finish it. But I was thinking about on the 4th of July, I was at a family friend's function. I was at Pips
yes.
from Gladys Knight and the Pips. His daughter gave a barbecue on the 4th of July, so I went over there. And when I'm around people, I got to be careful with my boundaries, because sometimes people are flirting, and I know when people are flirting. I pick up on all of that. So this old man told me, he said, are you running from me? I looked at that old man. I said, I don't run from nobody, because if I run, by the time you catch me, I'm going to be too tired to fight. So I can't
yep.
All he can do is just laugh because of my personality. But you can run, but you can't hide. When you run from your mistake, that's when it gets exposed, because people see it. So you have to learn how to deal with things differently. So you got to remember that God is saying, if you're worried about your past mistakes, remember that no one is perfect, including you. And when you, like I said, going back to forgiving yourself, you don't have to do that. Even confessing your sins, there's Bible scriptures in Psalms 51, 2 through 4. It talks about thoroughly
mm-hmm.
wash me inside and out of all
right.
my crooked deeds, cleanse me from my sins. And it kind of took me to that song when it talks about creating me a clean heart. Because
yes.
some
mm-hmm.
people do want to do right. They really do.
Yeah.
But by that
the
same
Proverbs,
token, mm-hmm. keep going, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying Proverbs 24 and 16 is one of my most, you know, profound scriptures. It says even a righteous man is going to fall 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
And what they mean by fall is not tripping. That means it translates to saying it's literally serious mistake. A righteous man is going to make at least 7 serious errors in his life. And
mm-hmm.
if the righteous man is going to do that, and the definition of righteous here is somebody who's trying to live blameless, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who's trying to live blameless, just like Job. When it says Job was an upright man, that means, you know, Job went and gave an offering for his kids before they sinned, because
mm-hmm.
he knew they were gathering together to have a party. So Job said, come on, let me make this sacrifice now, because they're going to sin. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's a righteous man. That's a righteous
mm-hmm.
man. And so what we have to understand is the main points to take away, we're coming to a close of this show today, is that not letting people hold you back when you make a mistake, because they probably have made more than you and bigger ones than you. And we're not judging between who's made the biggest and the most mistakes. It's number one, that no one's perfect. Number two is that it is the devil's job to try to keep you in guilt and try to keep you being unremorseful and try to keep you in a place where you can't grow to understand that God has already forgiven you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next point is that once you've been forgiven, you know, you have to now switch the switch and change your mindset. And, and so that's the big thing for believers. And so I'm going to say this real quick, because it happened in my first marriage. And what happened was, my wife came from a family that never said sorry. And the way they said sorry was to buy a gift 3 weeks later. And in my family, there was too many siblings to do that. We had to say sorry right away. And so the point is that when we'd have an argument and I felt truly remorse and I'd turn around and say, honey, I'm sorry, she didn't believe me, because for her, that sorry was coming too fast, too easy, too quick, even though I meant it from my heart. And for her, even though she meant the same way too, she didn't know how to articulate being sorry. You know, she cooked something special for dinner or do something special for me a couple of days later. And what I just really wanted to hear was her saying sorry. And so what happens for the believer is, because God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice and folks don't understand everything about his word, they don't understand that they're already sorry. I mean, that they're already forgiven. And a lot of people live in that guilt and they live under that strain because they don't understand the scriptures. And just like I was in my first marriage, until we got counseling, until we grew, we're speaking different languages of forgiveness.
Correct. But you're saying the same thing, but you're speaking a different language. And that happens a lot of times because God, knowing God's love, too.
Right. And because of our culture and our background. You know, between the sexes, we're running out of time. Between the sexes, you know, men are more stoic. We're saying sorry. And then the woman, you know, she might say sorry, these type of things. So there's cultural, there's sex, you know, all those things that come into it. But the main thing is that we want to be successful. We want our gifts to flourish. We want to move without baggage. And and all this baggage is tied up in unforgiveness. It's tied up in living in the past. It's tied up in having folks hold us, you know, to our past. And we have to just say, the devil is a lie. I'm going to move on. It's done. It's over with. I'm going forward.
Correct. And, you know, it's funny when you were saying that, because I was thinking about my friend. He always get mad at me because he said, I don't ever say I'm sorry. And I'm like, why am I going to saying I'm sorry it over and over and over and over again? But he's learned that a person got to say they sorry. That's what he said. You never say you sorry. You think you too bold to say you too arrogant to say you sorry. I just smile and be like, I'm not going to let you do that to me. But the one thing, and I want to say this, and I'm going to let you pick the topic for next week, Pastor, is could or can God forgive me? I want the listeners to know out there, no matter what you've done, whether it has to do with adultery or lying or stealing or whatever the case may be, you can be forgiven. So if you don't have to hold on to your mistake and stay in your guilt, God can forgive you, even if man don't forgive you, but you also have to forgive yourself. And when you forgive yourself and you are consistent with it and they see it in you, then they will forgive you too, because they won't have no choice. So, Pastor,
because
I'm going to let you close, and I'm going to let you pick the topic for next week.
Well, because of who our God is, when people come to me already like that, I already tell them they're forgiven, because our God is omniscient. And so he knows your heart and your mind, and he knows – see, God knows light years ahead of time that we're already in a state of forgiveness before we even formed the thought and before we could even articulate it. And I let them know that. You're already in forgiveness. Now you just need to forgive yourself. And so – to me, that's the biggest part of it. And then now, treating them like they have been forgiven. I think that's the biggest part to take away from today, is that we don't treat people like they're walking around with an albatross around their neck, They're walking around with a big sign on their back that says cheater, adulterer, thief, liar, drug dealer, all these things. And that's how people treat people. And so you have to see yourself first as a child of God, upright, and then people will start seeing that, just like what you said. When they see that all the stuff they're trying to throw at you is like Teflon, it's not sticking, they'll go away just like demons do. So this week I want to go back to a topic that's true to heart for me. I want to talk about the believer and money. And it's a topic that Jesus talks about a lot in the New Testament. We're going to talk about saving money. We're going to talk about, obviously, tithing and giving. We're going to talk about the love of money. And we're going to talk about money in this world. And so it's going to be important for a lot of people, because a lot of families are struggling because of this right now. And with this new, I call it millennial economy, families going to know how to, they have to know how to budget.
Correct. And you know what? I need that myself, but I also need a bookkeeper. I need somebody to go through all my stuff, because I don't even know how much money I make a month. It'd be 2 years before I know how much I make.
So you're going to need this show.
I need it myself.
God bless.
Yeah, I know how to stay in my lane. All right. See you later. Thanks for listening.
God bless.
Nikki Mintz, Blog Talk Radio with Jeanette Abney and Pastor Dennis Dale. Until next week, remember, we're going to be talking about the believers and money. Until then, stay blessed. Talk to you later, Pastor. Bye-bye.